encouragers on the whole planet, and father to many, our Pastor Brent. Yay.
Thank you. There's something bigger going on. I sent out an email to that effect a few days ago. Probably most of you here got that. And I said I was going to share some stories tonight, and I indeed will do that. Wanted to tell you to fasten your seatbelts for this ride. In fact, I just saw this show with my son Aaron. It was extreme rides, like the most extreme rides in the Northern California. One of them is this this roller coaster that shoots you out straight up about like they said over, as tall as the Statue of Liberty. And then brings you straight back down, and off. There's another one that does the same thing, only when it's coming down, it doesn't go 90 degrees, it goes 97 degrees down. Like you're literally being held in by these things. Otherwise, anyway, we're not going there. And there's one more that I got to tell you about. These were in, I think, New Jersey or somewhere, and there's one in Wisconsin, where they take you up in this harness, hundreds of feet high, and then after they do that, they raise up this the net below you, and so you're going up in this thing, and they lower you down a few feet, so you're looking up at them, and then they just unclick your harness, and you're dropping backwards for about two or three full seconds without seeing where you're going, as you're dropping into this net. Now that's wild. So I'm just telling you, that's the world's definition of wild, which is pretty wild. I wouldn't mind doing those things. Some of you are going, yeah, some of you are going, not a chance. But I want to share some things with you tonight, some wild things that have been happening in the last week or two. But I want to start by telling you that we are spirit beings. We're spirit beings. Every single person on the earth is a spirit being. They're going to live forever somewhere. And of course, our prayer and God's wish and desire is that every single one of his kids would live with him. But we are spirit beings. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24 says, "May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from all fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you will do it because he is faithful." That was kind of a message from 2 weeks ago, I think, that I gave about God finishing what he started in us. But the point of this is that spirit, soul, and body, even there as it's listed, our spirit is listed first. We are primarily spirit beings. We do have a soul, that's our emotions, the way we think. We have a body, you know, that this thing here, that it's all housed in. But primarily we're spirit, which makes total sense because God is spirit. It's right out of Scripture. He is spirit. And we are fashioned in his image. So I just wanted to tell you that because I'm going to tell you some wild stories tonight. I want to start by sharing a little bit of the retreat we were on. Last weekend, there were seven of the eight elders were together. Dan, unfortunately, was not able to be with us, though it wouldn't surprise me if he was with us in spirit. We had Friday was just a really coming together time. Just a lot of bonding and covenanting and just agreeing together what that was all about. Saturday we began to talk a lot about listening to God and talk about the church, and we decided Saturday night we were going to go out to dinner and we were going to come back and we were going to worship and just declare. Not knowing what was going to happen, but we knew it would be good. We're just going to come back and worship and declare. Because you know what? There comes a point in which you can talk and talk and talk till you're blue in the face. You can talk for weeks and months. And yet if you'll stop and begin to listen to the heartbeat of God and declare with Him, things happen. Things happen. So we came back and we started to worship. It was really wonderful. Great worship. And actually, I think that's really key to this because a lot of times some of the wild things that start happening in the spirit, you can't make them happen. If so, we would all make them happen every day, you know. But you can absolutely position yourself in places where God kind of says, oh, this is too good. I can't not do this. I got to do this. And so we were positioning ourselves in worship. And we were making some declarations. And then at one point, Suzanne began to get this deep intercession inside of her. We learned later. She was kind of wanting it to come out, but not quite sure yet. And then Susan comes up to her and says, permission granted. Susan, who doesn't know what's going on inside of Suzanne, just comes up and says, permission granted. And then it just started coming out. And we actually have, not with us tonight, but we have audio of this, of this passion that started coming out. And it was, she started to weep and weep, and it was about souls. God was just giving her His heart for souls. It's about souls. Don't forget, you know. And so we began to, all of us, we began to feel more and more of God's heart. I know that I started weeping and weeping, and I could not stop. And it was, and part of it, especially later on, was about souls. But early on for me, I know that her weeping and that intercession was kind of a gateway, if you will, that brought me into this place of weeping. But actually what I was weeping at first was because God was just kissing my heart. He was kissing me awake. And it's hard to explain this because most of you would say, well, you weren't asleep, except that each one of us knows ourselves, and we know the places we've been at certain times spiritually. And I even earlier in the weekend said, God, I know you just have to wake me up. I'm yours. Do what you want. Again, positioning ourselves, those kind of things. God listens to those things. And it was, I think, a day later that this happened. So the image I got for me personally was that it was like Prince Rillian in the Narnia story, where he was just awakened. To remember who he was. And Dan's going to be preaching next week. And unless things change, which they might, I believe he's even going to read a portion of that story. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, next week you'll hear part of it. But God was just kissing my heart awake. And it was another way of describing it was like a renewal of vows, in that he was reminding us of what we signed up for when we started Blazing Fire. And Suzanne and I were just sobbing on this last Saturday night. But so too, about 8 years ago, 7.5, 8 years ago, we were sobbing when we were up at Reading, and God just touched our hearts and wanted us to push all of our chips in the middle of the table, and said, "There's no going back. You're going the way I'm sending you, and it is all about my presence, and it's all about souls." And he was just reminding us in a deep, deep, deep way that not to forget that this is not about having a cool church, though I think it's one of the coolest that I know. I'm just speaking honest. That's not because I'm the pastor. I just love this place. I love you all. I love what God does here is what I love. But it's not about having a cool church. That's great, but that's not what it's about. We're after His presence as the one thing. And with that presence, as you know, as all these stories indicate week after week after week, we're to go out with it because He is so, so enamored with His children, especially those who don't know Him yet. I mean, all of His children, but He wants those who don't know Him. He wants His banquet table to be full. And if it isn't about that, if it's only about us and Him, love affair, if that's all it's about, let's go home right now. You know what I mean? Let's just go home, because it can be a whole lot better even than this. But he's saying, no, I got you here for a reason, and it is about souls. So there was this reawakening that took place. Then we went back into some powerful worship. It just started taking us up. And at that point, Lonnie, come here. Lonnie's going to tell you a little bit about what started happening inside of him.
Wow. I'm used to sharing about prophecy and healing testimonies, but not this kind of stuff. This was radical for me. And as I was just in the Lord's presence and just weeping and crying, I was so undone like never before. My spirit began to get radically shaken. It was shaking so vibrant, so hard. And in the spirit, I just saw Aslan coming in the snow. And he began to roar. And these waves went through the land, calling people out. And as my spirit was shaking, I started coming out of my body. But I was still in my body. I was there, no one was going, but my spirit took off. And I landed in blazing fire. I came through the roof about 9:25, 9:30. I came through the roof and I saw the other elders with me. Shabbat. And we were releasing the glory we were walking in that night. We were releasing that over the place. Whoa. And then I saw Aslan just over here, roaring in blazing fire. And that's kind of what part of my story there.
Now, I want to try to give this even a little bit more context, because as we were praying, we realized, again, God was just taking us up into this place. It was as a total sovereign move. You know, you can't just make yourself cry like that. He just showed up. And so as we were there weeping and then we were worshiping, then we started praying. We started declaring God's angels, sending God's angels to come and release here what we were experiencing there. Again, this was about 9:35 was when this started happening. And then this starts happening to Lonnie. And I was here too. I could tell you where I was. I could tell you who I was praying for. I was right here on the stage. I was leaning over praying for some of you as you're coming through this thing. And as we were doing this, Susan, who I don't know if she's here yet or not, but Susan, she goes, Lonnie and Sandy know we're here. Lonnie and Sandy were the ones that preached last week, and they were the ones, you know, instigating this fire tunnel. And Susan goes, "Oh, they know we're here." Well, as I called and talked to Lonnie, you have to understand, we're not staging any of this, you know. I called and talked to Lonnie, and I started telling her the amazing things and what happened on this retreat. And I said, "And Lonnie, you'll never believe this, but we were there. We came." And she said, "I knew you were going to say that." She goes, "I saw you there." Come here, Lonnie.
Yay, God. Yay, Jesus. We prayed for this bunch, didn't we? We prayed for you guys and the elder team. And it's true, when we were here, actually, I saw you guys first come through the tunnel, and then I saw you guys become part of the prayer impartation team, and that was really cool. Something amazing was going on down here at the end of the fire tunnel. I wish I would have seen Aslan. So that's what it was. So amazing. So do you want me to tell about... Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to have Lonnie. I'm going to have both Lonnies. Yeah, we've got to keep remembering he Lonnie, she Lonnie, so that we keep this clear. So when he Lonnie was saying that Aslan was he saw Aslan here. Of course, Aslan, the lion in Narnia, the representing the Christ figure. And when he said he saw him, he goes, "Oh, Aslan's there." And I said, "Yeah, he's right at the end of the tunnel, roaring back in where you're coming through." And Lonnie goes, "That's exactly where he is." I mean, it was just so cool. It was like everything. We were all seeing absolutely the same thing. Let's see where. Oh, now let me just stop for a minute. Just stop for a second, because there's got to be some of you that are going. I mean, now most of you are going, "This is awesome," but there are some of you who might be going, Where is this in the Bible? I don't know about this. 1 Corinthians 5:3, Paul says, "For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit." Now let's look at that a minute. Was he just saying, "Oh man, I'm with you. I love you guys. Love you so much. I'm just with you." Or was he saying what he actually said? that my body wasn't there, but my spirit was. How is it that we can all be sitting here in this room, and yet for every single one of you who has said yes to Jesus, you are right now seated with him in heavenly places? That's what Paul says. How is that possible? It has everything to do with your spirit. Just I understand we're not fully in touch with that yet. Granted, I'm not either. I'm not saying I know all of what's going on. I'm just describing to you there's something bigger going on. Something bigger than me. Second Corinthians 12, 1-4. Paul says, if we're to boast, he says, although boasting's out of place, he's saying, hey, I'm not really trying to boast, but it's a whole argument. You have to read the whole thing. But he says, I'm going to go on to the visions and revelations that the Lord has granted me. He says, I know a man in Christ. He's talking about himself, in case you didn't ever pick that up. He's boasting about himself, but it's almost third person, because he's going, these amazing things happen in the spirit. He goes, that I'm going to boast about. You know why? Because really what he boasts about is his weakness. He says, I'm going to boast about my weakness, but I'll boast about one more thing. I'm going to boast about the amazing revelations and experiences of God. Why? Because it's all by grace. Paul didn't do a thing to earn that. It was just simply a gift from God. He goes, that I'll boast about. So he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago had the experience of being caught up in the third heaven. I don't know whether it was an actual physical experience. Only God knows that. Like he's saying, was I there? Was I not? I don't know. It was outside of my realm of understanding. I simply know that in the body or out of the body, God knows which, this man was caught up to paradise and heard sacred secrets which no human lips can repeat. Now, was that only for Paul?
No.
Your answer to that will dictate some of what you experience. Because God's really into faith. He really wants to know whether we believe it's that this is so much bigger and better than we think. But he wants to know, because honestly, if you think it's only for Paul, then for you it will only be for Paul. If that's where you put your faith. But if you're saying, wait a minute, I think this is for everyone, I think it's for those who are in Christ, then I got to tell you, there's this amazing journey in front of you that's going to get more and more, I will say, outlandish, except that really it's more and more normal. Kingdom normal is what's in store for you. Jesus said something. He said, I am not of this world. I'm just saying what he's saying. He says, I'm not of this world. That's John 8:23. He also says, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. John 15:19. What does that mean? I'm just asking the questions. What does it mean that you're not of this world? See, this world operates in this realm of, if I can see it and touch it and feel it and smell it, then it's real. God says, well, I've got a different reality for you, because you're not of this world. That's not the principles you go by. And everybody in Scripture who experienced wild things, you know, along the way, I mean, I got a list of them I want to just remind you of in a minute. But I want to tell you that they saw these things because in most cases, I know God can pick anyone he wants and do what he wants. Granted, I totally agree. But for the majority of the cases where they were trusting God to do something, they were way outside of the limits of what we would call normalcy in this world. Way outside of the limits of the natural laws that govern the world, right? I want to say this, where we are going, we need to be led by our spirits, not our souls. For where we are going, for where the world is going, God is raising up his children to believe him. You are not of this world. There's a different principle that you go by. You are led by my spirit, he says. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, my spirit speaks to your spirit. His spirit doesn't speak to your soul. He speaks to your spirit. Your spirit is to be the trainer of your emotions and your thinking, not the other way around. And in our culture, as you know, it's usually almost always flipped the other way. I'm going to try to reason it out first. And if I can reason it, then maybe I'll let my spirit go there. Well, you're not going to go there. It's the other way around. He speaks to your spirit. Our fear, right? Isn't this a fear? Our fear is that we're going to be way off base. If we go there, I know some weirdos, and if we go there, I don't know. Right? I mean, that's the fear. That's the fear. Understandable. I mean, we don't want to go off the hook and do something that's just going to hurt people and all that. That's true. But let me just tell you that if you're going after God, if your desire is for him, if you're led by his spirit, he is really well able to keep you in check. He is. Even if you, because sometimes you go, well, what if that was just my imagination? What if the things we just shared, what if that was just our imagination? All right, what if it was? I mean, is that a worst case scenario? All right, I can live with that. But I know that it wasn't. And in fact, he went out of his way to dozens of ways to confirm it from different sides, from people who couldn't have known, to let us all know, yeah, that was real. So I just want to say we're going to, for the sake of the world in which we live and the souls which we're to reach out for whatever the world has in store for us, we're going to have to be led by the Spirit, because we're going to have answers that are not normal, that don't come from just resources that you can see. Does that make sense? Let me keep going. We're going to share a couple more stories. Lonnie, come on back up. Lonnie's been teaching this amazing class the last several weeks in Kingdom Training School of Ministry. woo! And the class, I'm probably not getting the title right, but the class was about experiencing God. Full access. And I want to tell you, the last several weeks, there have been several amazing manifestations. In fact, we'll have Lonnie come back up and share his in a minute too. But share some of the things that have been going on in class.
Thank you. Just so amazing. We're in a time when God is just manifesting his word and his spirit in his presence. He's manifesting his glory. That's why I call it a glory school. We've got the most amazing students in class. So just bless them. And all you who are graduates, you know what we're talking about. There's been a particular intensity of an increase of God's self-manifestation, you guys. And it's been shocking and surprising me. For instance, last Monday, different people were smelling fragrances from heaven, different fragrances, different flowers. And did you smell horses? You saw white horses, and she actually went to Kathy Walters for an interpretation. And I was, you know, people who were smelling Christmas trees, and I was seeing multicolored lights over the room, and I was like. And Brother Shandy Pekkanen says it's because it is a Christmas manifestation. There are gifts God is giving right now. So I release that word to you. You've just heard the power of the testimony means that it's reproducible in your life. Take the gifts of God that are being poured out. Then in recent weeks, my Bible was pouring out gold to such an extent that, I mean, I was shocked. It's just shocking. I didn't bring it tonight because it's a nice normal Bible right now. God wants our eyes to be firmly fixed upon him and upon his glory manifestations. But I do want to encourage you as we're talking about this, before I forget, that I think the Lord is talking to us through these things to teach us to be aware of how he is manifesting his glory sovereignly right now at every given moment. What's he doing right now? Being aware of what is happening supernaturally right now, because we are living in this glory realm and he is manifesting that to us very clearly. Let's see, what else? Oh my goodness, on last Monday there was an increase of this very sticky, amazing, wonderful, honey-smelling substance on many people's palms. Hey, I'm talking about it and I'm getting it. Hey, Lonnie.
So anyway, Wayne, come up here real quick. Wayne, come here real quick. So what happened was, I was sitting in the front row, and we just took break. And I was looking at my hand, and the stuff started leaking out of it. And it was real sticky. And I said, Lonnie, what is this? And I tried to wipe it, and it kept coming back. And she said, Lonnie, it's that honey anointing thing. I started smelling like honey. So I touched Lonnie, and then she started getting it. And then Wayne got it. And then I just shut class. First of all, class is closed. Don't come. You cannot come to Kingdom Training. It is closed. You'll be sent home with grace. Honestly, you will. But till next year. But anyway, this thing kept coming. And so I said, everybody just come to the front. And we started just laying hands and praying for people. But Wayne had a message from God earlier that day about this.
About an hour before class that night, I saw a vision. And in the vision, I saw like a glory, liquid honey oil cloud above the all the students. And the Lord showed me as when the people come forward, raise their hands, they'll catch it, they'll receive it. And that's exactly what we did last Monday, is we came forward, we received it, and all of a sudden it just started manifesting on my hand. And the Lord said, go around, give it away. And I just gave it away. It was powerful.
Now, we didn't know this until it started happening, and Wayne came and gave the word. As a matter of fact, it was like shimmering and shining, and it was awesome.
True. Very, very cool. Once before at Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship in the mid-90s, I had seen the glory cloud hanging over the worship team. And as I was teaching at one point, I was like, I looked and there was a shimmering evanescent fog. There was a shimmering, very, very, it's like the faint beginnings. And it's like, we're not despising the day of small beginnings. But I do believe that the glory cloud is beginning to manifest in our midst. Just God wanting to pour himself out, to lavish his love in extraordinary ways. So let me see. There's more stuff happening. Let's see. Come on. What else is happening, you guys? There's just a... Yeah. Angel feathers. Absolutely. Angel feathers. That's right. And there was one Kingdom Training, and was Sandy teaching or was Leona teaching? I can't remember, but there was one that I caught in my hand, but I missed it, disappeared, and some have seen that too. So just the amazingness of God. Expect the unexpected. Expect him to show up. Expect his glory to be seen upon you, because this is where you live and breathe and dwell. You were made for the glory of God. And when their glory is manifesting, miracles are manifesting as well. Signs and wonders are manifesting as well. So this is part of your inheritance. In the class, we talk about it. We have full access because somebody gave us full access. Jesus Christ gave us full access on the cross of Calvary. He bought and paid for us to have his inheritance. All of heaven, full access to heaven, and God's full access to the world through us.
Amen and amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there that night when Lonnie, when the gold was coming out. She was literally going like this. It was pouring out. It was like a big, I don't know, pepper shaker. It wasn't salt. It was just coming out. People were coming up, getting some. Phenomenal. Let me tell you a couple of, I'm glad that Lonnie said there's a purpose to this. I mean, you know, because one of the questions is, why would God do this? Well, he does it because he can. He does what he wants, but he's trying to send a message that there are treasures here, that you are his joy. He wants to pour his treasures over you, and he wants you to believe something that's bigger than yourself. He wants you to believe, and you know what, and is that a lot of times these things, I will just say most of the time again, these things tend to happen in circles where people are actually believing them. It's just kind of the way it works. I'm not saying it's the only way, but I'm saying most of the time it happens in places where people are expecting it and believing it. When we were at the retreat, a couple things happened too, of these miracles of nature. The first was that on Saturday morning, when we were up in Twain Hart, and it was raining, misting, or actually a lot of times it just was clear, like cloudy, but nothing coming down. And at this one point, we began to declare things. We were like, hey, we were getting this download from God. There's a breakthrough this year. We were starting to declare breakthrough for things like ADD, for ADHD, for what were they all? Parkinson's, autism. There was a bunch of them. We just started declaring these things, and God was on it. We were feeling His power. That again, it's these suddenlies, just His presence. We were saying, God, we want Your presence so thick when we meet that these things are just taken care of. They're just healed because of God's presence, with nobody praying for them. And we were just declaring for specific people, too, who have some of these things illegally, that we were declaring this is their year of breakthrough. As we were doing this, and I kid you not, you know I wouldn't be making this up. As we were declaring this, this fog rolls in across. We have these big, beautiful windows. We can see it all, and it's like a flat area. This fog, dense fog, rolls in and just parks there right as we're making these declarations. I mean, wild, because you can see it was like a wall. You could see it come right across this field. It was wild. And when we were done, I mean, minutes later, seconds maybe, it was gone. It just lifted. And we knew, again, when God speaks through things, he'll let you know what He's saying. We knew that was His yes to His presence. He was like, it's the thickness of my presence that you're praying for to break through these things. My answer is yes. Another, as we were weeping that night, as was the only time in the 2.5 days we were up there, right in the middle. I mean, I'm sobbing and sobbing, and suddenly, it's hailing on top of us. Massive hail coming down. And that is the only time was when we were weeping and in this deep place of intercession for souls, and this hail comes down. And Suzanne was like saying, you know, was telling me there's hail. And I'm like, I know, but I couldn't even look. I was so on the floor sobbing, I couldn't even look. Just wild. And I'll just add one more, because this is also like God. On Sunday morning, we woke up and it was this beautiful postcard. It was snowing for the first time. Picture postcard for us, and it was gorgeous. Not snowing so much that it was on the road, so we could get out. And the cool thing is, so it was snowing all morning. Let me just tell you, the only time it stopped was the few minutes that we needed to pack the top of the van. It completely stopped, and then we got in and took off, and then it started again. Would God really do that? Yeah, He would. Yeah, He really would. So I just thought I would add those to let you know. This is what God's doing. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about purpose again, about why. Suzanne recently had a series of three dreams. And a lot of times sometimes when she dreams, of course, sometimes it's just for her. And other times there's something that God's saying about the body of Christ. And in these three dreams, they all had to do with shoes. She either didn't have them or didn't have the right ones. Bill Johnson was in one of these dreams of like getting her the right shoes. So clearly there was a message about needing to be prepared. Shoes, in my opinion, I mean, looking at this now and what God did with us, clearly they're representing the shoes of the gospel of peace, the gospel for souls, that we need to ask for His readiness, His preparation to get us ready for souls. And He did it. That her dreams came several weeks ago, and He did it supernaturally for us. He just came in and just in a suddenly gave us His passion again for souls. But I realized that it was really clear that weekend, because before we were talking about these dreams between she and I and trying to grasp, you know, what it all meant for her. And it just came so clear to me. God said, it's not, this is one of those dreams, a series of dreams that are not for her. It's for, in this case, for Blazing Fire. The mother of the house was getting a dream for all of us that he's getting us ready with Bill Johnson, certainly our Reading connection. But he's getting us ready to, with his heart for souls, so that we know what to do with all this presence that's coming. Because I'm telling you, the increase of things we're talking about, it's not going to go away. Of the increase of his government, there's no end. His kingdom is coming and coming and expanding and expanding and expanding. That's just the way it is. So there's more coming. And he's getting us ready. And I want to say this too. I'm going to say something just for a minute that I'm going to say ahead of time. I'm not chastising anybody in this room. This is my father talk to you, okay? Nobody's in trouble. I'm not pointing to anyone in particular. But one of the things, we actually spoke about this probably a year or so ago when we were at Church on the Hill. But we're realizing again, there are some really strategic things that he's going to be doing when we're together. When we're worshiping, the message, ministry, but these nights when we're together. And he wants us to go places together. And so what I want to tell you is as we're worshiping, mainly as we're worshiping, because right now there's obviously no issue, but as we're worshiping, there's just a lot of things going on, a lot of individual things going on. Of long conversations and just stuff going on. And what we're saying is, because there's two ways we could say, we could be like most places and we could slap down a few more rules and say, you can't do this and you can't do that. In a place like this, the challenge is we have really emphasized freedom and love and grace. So instead, so we're not placing rules down, but what we're saying is, you guys get the vision of what God's doing. He wants to take us somewhere, and you all are needed. It's like every who down in Whoville is needed for this thing, you know? Every voice, every single one of you, he's drawn us in and going someplace with us together. And so we're not saying that you can't ever say hello to somebody or give them a hug. This is a place where there's just so much love going that it's hard not to. But what we're saying is if God's really... Like you're coming up to somebody and you really want to talk to them, just go out there. You know, go out and talk if that's really what you want to do. But let me also say this: I want to empower all of you, because some of you, you came here to worship and you don't particularly want to talk, and people keep coming up, and it's almost like you feel like you have a sign on that says "interrupt me while I'm worshiping," and so if that's you, I want to empower you that it's totally okay to say to somebody, hey, bless you, I really want to worship, and go back to worshiping. That's totally okay. All right? Or the other thing is, if somebody comes up and you want to talk to them, then say, hey, man, that's great. Let's go out in the lobby and talk. Now, I know it sounds like, again, like this is a rule thing. It's really not. We actually have said this before about a year ago, but then since we didn't repeat it and new people come, they don't really hear it. But we want, as Lonnie said just a little bit ago, you said something about God's presence coming in so thick we can't even move and talk. I mean, that's really what we're after. We're saying, God, we'd love to throw this microphone away where nobody has to talk at all, because you just got us all on the floor and doing whatever you want to do. That's one way it might look. It might look 100 different ways. And each time we gather, we kind of know a little bit about where we think we're going, but kind of not, because there's got to be freedom for where the Lord's taking this thing. But I want to tell you, you all make up this body here, and everything that you're bringing to the party matters. And so this is where we have to be more and more in touch. And he's going to have to train us how to do that. How do we do that with an ever-growing church where still people have influence towards a direction of where we're going? That's where we really just all of us have to learn to listen in on the Spirit and go there together. So, okay, nobody feels picked on, right, or beat up? Good, okay. And here's another thing. Sorry, I accidentally untied my shoe and it's really bugging me. So, (Laughter) It was bugging me. I stepped on it and it went undone, and I would have gone the next half hour with an untied shoe. I wanted to say, I totally understand, by the way, the need for socialization, for just enjoying each other. And so a couple of opportunities to do that is after worship. You know, we get done and some people stick around for, shut the lights off at midnight. Some of you know that because you're around. Some of you don't know that because you've never been here that late. But at midnight, we shut it off. So there's plenty of time to hang out. And I want to tell you also, we have a great vision for home groups all across this bay. That was one of the things we talked about at the retreat. And there are several, there are probably, how many of us right now? About five or so that are alive and kicking. Okay. So maybe three or four with several more really close on the way. What we're going to end up doing too is putting that out on the email and stuff and just letting you know, and sometimes even bringing them up here, the leaders, so you know who, where these groups are. But I want to tell you that is a place to get that closeness that you're looking for. And it's going to be really important that we keep growing these because of where things are going. We need these groups in operation all across the bay for whatever is coming. Yeah, thanks, Doug. Thanks for that amen. He is. And one of the things, that I will say this, one of the things that came out of that time, this is really important, actually. That time meaning that the time when he just fell on us, we were weeping, he gave us his heart again for souls, he was re-kissing my heart awake, and out of that time, I did hear from the Lord a couple things. I heard from him that, because we do talk about a building, about, you know, our focus has never been on the buildings and on the things. It's just been about him. And actually, earlier that night, he spoke to me and he said, Brent, for 7 years, you haven't asked me for a building and things. It's okay to ask, is what he was telling me. It's okay. I know that's not where your heart is. No, that's not what you're after. It's okay to ask. And as we began to declare these things later on, after we went through this time where he was deeply touching our hearts, I came out of that time with an awareness of two things. One is that the building that we will have is done. It's done in the spirit. That it was a heart thing. He was lining us up with something. And the second thing is that when that happens, this church is going to explode. Yes, numerically, absolutely, and influence-wise and all the rest, the schools and everything. We've got huge dreams. We don't really bring it up all that much because we don't really have the forum for it. We're just here to meet with God, you know. But I'm just telling you, we've got huge dreams. They're around the corner just as far as being able to explode into them. So what I want to remind you is that we've got this amazing supernatural God. I just wrote a couple of them down. And just to remind you of the bizarre things, you know, that Enoch just being taken up. What? He was just there and he's not there. There's no body to bury. The parting of the Red Sea. Come on. Astounding. We just heard that one too many times in Sunday school. You know, we got somewhere along the way, we just got, I don't know, numb to how astounding that is. Manna from heaven, water from a rock, columns of fire and cloud to lead people. Holding back starving lions. Jesus spitting and making mud on eyes and seeing the blind healed. That's just crazy. That's just weird. And it was totally God. Walking on water. Water turned into wine. Food multiplied. Peter's shadow healing people, prayer cloths healing people. God is so creative. He is so creative. And a lot of times we limit ourselves to what only we've seen or read about. And Jesus says, oh, no, no, no. You're going to be doing greater things than these. So we have to be led by the Spirit. Because our souls can't think beyond what we know. We can't. But if we start to get into situations and we say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it, sometimes it'll come right away. Sometimes it'll come later. This ingenious thought or leading will come, but it's Holy Spirit coming right through your spirit, saying, "Do this." Then we got to step out and do it. So let me just give you an example of what I mean. Here we go. Because this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you an actual example. Okay, right now you know that we need some rain. Okay, so I read. Yes. Not just a drought was yesterday's headline. I mean, like almost like drought is too kind of a word, is what they're getting at. And as soon as I saw that, I want to ask you something. If you read the paper, if you look at the news, how are you doing it? Are you doing it with the Holy Spirit? Are you letting your spirits read this? Or is it with your minds? Because if it's with your minds, it's, oh no, this is horrible. If you're reading this, I would challenge you, if you're going to pick up a paper or look at the news, ask the Holy Spirit before you do, would you look at this with me? Give me your perspective on this. It'll change some things. So I'm reading this. The first thing I'm reminded of is how, if I remember this correctly, someone just told me that, I think it was Bobby Connor in Reading, just declared with all of Reading up Bethel Church in Reading in this big conference that the drought is over. And they had this huge, you know, declaration and agreement that, you know, and Bobby Connor, I want to tell you, he's got a pretty amazing track record with God of some things that are wild, wild, crazy. Anyway, that's a whole another series of stories. So that's the first thing I thought of. And I said, no, I said, I declare that February and March and April are going to be, and I stopped myself. I said, are going to be the wettest months. And then I stopped myself because I'm like, okay, I don't want to say in history because we already had an ark and all that. And there's going to be a whole lot of flooding. So I said, in 30 years, that's what I said. So you got to think about what you're declaring. Then, as if, I know this was God. See, this is what happens when you read it with the Holy Spirit. There's this, down here is this excerpt that says, and I did not read this until I made those declarations, and it says, this is a owner of Wente Vineyards, Phil Wente. He says, in my 40 years of being around here, I find the rainfall seasons are very random. We could have the wettest March on record yet. We don't know that yet. Now, let me go further than that. I want to go further than that. That was good. But then I was up at Valley Christian the other day praying over the valley. And this thing came to mind again about this drought. See, we have to be creative. I'll go back to James that says you have not because you ask not. Unless we're led by the Spirit, we're just not creative enough to even think of things beyond what we could think of, you know? But I'm telling you, we got to get creative. So I started, this is what I started declaring up there. I declared that, I said, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't just, like, we don't have to have flooding in order to get the water we need. I just said, you know, I declared that the water level would not go down. I'm telling you, the more you get out there with the Lord, the more out there you're going to be. And I'm just openly telling you I'm out there. And so, who's going to declare these things? God is waiting for somebody to say, oh, you have no idea yet how big I am, how good I am, but I'm just waiting. All of creation is groaning for us to get this. That's in Romans 8. It's waiting for us. Oh, sons of God, we can't wait. And daughters, of course, we can't wait till you know who you are, because that's when all these curses are going to be fully broken. But you got to know who you are. So that was something I prayed. Here was another one. Was just seconds later, I went, how much water do we lose every year because of dehydration? Just the sun on it. Like, I declare no dehydration of that water. I know I could get in trouble with, because there's places where water has to dehydrate or we'd be in trouble. But anyway, God knows. I'm just trying to share with you this whole thing of thinking outside of the box and starting to declare things and say, God, what would be a whole nother way we haven't even thought of yet? He's got 100 ways he could answer, 1,000 ways he could answer this. Here's one more, unemployment. You know, you read the papers, it looks horrible. Everything you read looks horrible. You know, even when they talk about dumping billions of dollars into the economy, it's still done with a slant. Oh, this is horrible. It's all going to be horrible. Can I just tell you something, first of all? I want to give you a different perspective about unemployment. That right now, I will tell you, there is a massive reconfiguration going on across the earth. And there is a massive repositioning of people across the earth. And do you know that that's God's prerogative to do that? Did you know that you gave him permission to take your life and do with it what he wanted? Did you know that was the deal? So then when we're nice and comfy in the place we want to be and something rocks us out, you know, we start blaming God and getting mad at him and saying, God, what are you doing? Don't you care? Don't you love me? And he says, hey, I thought we had a deal. I thought it was my life for yours. And he says, would you trust me? Because there's something bigger going on. There's something bigger than me. It's true. I will tell you, three times I was in a position, three times in the last 20 years, I've been in a position where for a few months I did not know where my next employment was going to be. And I know some of you have been through longer stretches than that. This is the point I want to tell you. Those three times were three of the absolute most significant spiritual encounters with God in my life. Each time. I'm going to give you the short version, because these are all long stories. But in the first one, I had a dream, and Jesus came to me in a dream. Only time this has happened like this real. And I was worried in the natural. I was worried. What am I going to do, Lord? You know, I got a family to provide for. He came to me in a dream, and he said, Brent, do you love me? And I said, Lord, you know that I do. And he said, don't worry, I have a place for you. And he reached out, and he touched me. And as soon as he touched me, I lit up instantly from head to toe with this electric white light. And when that happened, I instantly woke up in my bed, and I was still glowing from head to toe with this white light. It did not dissipate at all. And all I could do was sit and weep and weep and weep. And I will tell you that miraculously, you know, 2 months later, we were here in Pleasanton. This was 19 years ago that this happened, 20 years ago. And this is where he brought us. And there were a couple of other places that he absolutely closed the door on earlier, in which that's what started rising up the fear, the anxiety. Like, oh no, what am I going to do? He says, don't worry. Here I am, 20 years later. Here we are. This is what he had for us. That was one. Another one was 7 years later, and nothing to do with us, which is actually a good point, because some of you, you've done nothing, many of you, you've done nothing wrong at all. It's just the economy, it's things out of your control, right? So completely out of our control, we were given 6 months notice to leave the church we were at. Again, like I said, we hadn't done anything wrong. It just was circumstances that actually had zero to do with us, but it's the way it was. And so we thought we were leaving the area, and it was in that time of seeking God and learning to trust him that we were watching a movie. Now, here you go. You create the atmosphere, and what I mean by that is you believe God, you trust him, you keep worshiping, you do, you know, those things. You keep yourself in the game, right? But then when he showed up, it was totally sovereign. I did not know what was going to happen. We were in a movie theater, and suddenly, I mean, right in the middle of this movie, Holy Spirit comes, falls on me, and I am weeping like a baby, and I can't stop. And he gave me a heart-to-heart about faith that lasted, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes is what it seemed like. It was long talk. And he was telling me all kinds of things. I'll tell you the long version another time. But the bottom line is this, is at the end of that, he said, I want you to stay in this valley. Because we thought we were leaving. He said, no, I want you to stay here. We had no idea what that meant, what was going to happen. But we did. And obviously we're still here. And then About 7 years ago, so another four or five years after that was the third time. And in that, I will just say, in that season is where I got the depth of much of what you're hearing here at Blazing Fire, of the Father's passionate heart towards us, of the finished work of the cross, of his grace and his favor and his mercy. But I want to tell you, it was in that third transition where I was unemployed for a while that's where all that came. I remember going on walks in the park with the Lord, and he would just, would he come and meet me? And I would just, you know, again, be weeping with just gratitude. So all that's to say that, you know, here's the thing. We are creatures of comfort. Most of us in this room, if we didn't have to, we wouldn't move on to the next thing. We just wouldn't, because most of us, I know there's some in this room who would jump at the chance, but most of us, we just get comfortable. And the same is true for me. And yet, I will tell you that this church right here is a result of one of those times that, you know, was out of my control. And this is, you know, the fruit of that. So good things come out of it. Do you trust him? Is he good? That's the question. Is he able to do what he says for you, to provide for you? He says, you know what, little ones? He says, don't worry. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. I know exactly how to take care of you. Little ones. Little diapered ones is one of the kind of the literal translation of that passage. Oh, little diapered ones. Because I know you don't really know me as well yet as you want. Trust me. I know how to take care of you. It is my good and perfect pleasure to give you my kingdom. That's what he says. We have to live supernaturally. We have to live supernaturally. That's kind of the message tonight. That's what I'm trying to get across. You know, we could share 100 more stories, but you know, some of you think, well, I'm not spiritual enough. It's not about that. Remember, Paul boasted in his weaknesses. Paul, Apostle Paul. He goes, the thing I'm going to boast in is my weaknesses. Why? Because the more he was aware of his weakness, the more amazed he was at Jesus. That in spite of his weakness, Jesus chose to do the impossible through him again and again and again. Daniel 11:32, those who know their God will do great exploits. Do you know how good he is? Do you know that he can do the impossible? I will say this, by God's grace, by his Spirit, we're all knowing more than we knew before. Right? So, let's see where we're going tonight. I want to ask the people that came up, like Lonnie and Wayne, come on up. Wayne, come on up. Maybe all the elders, how about? I need to. We're just going to wait for a minute on God. Okay? Just going to wait for a minute. See what he's doing.
Declaration to the end of the day as well.
Yeah.
Want to do that?
Yeah, and yes. Yeah. Good, good, good. Thank you, Jesus. Lonnie just had a great idea that we would just agree with that corporate declaration of the end of the drought, that we're just going to agree. And so, Lonnie, will you do that?
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your leading. Thank you, Lord, for your intercession that we agree with right now. Lord, as you ever live to make intercession for us, Jesus, according to Hebrews 7:25, we agree with you, Lord, and we say thank you, Lord, that any such thing as a drought is not upon us. We declare normal and abundant rainfall. We agree with our beloved pastor's declarations concerning the water level. We thank you, Lord, that there will not be any condition that is going to cause hardship. Lord Jesus, we're asked for, let the rain of God come. Let the rain of your glory come. Rain down. Pour it on down. Flood down. Pour down. God, we ask for showers. We ask for increase. And Lord, we say we need more. We are so grateful for all that you're giving us, God. For all that you're showing us, God. We're so grateful for the glory. We're so grateful for the manifestations of your presence. But Lord, our hearts are hungering and thirsting for more. More of you, Lord. More, Lord. We ask for more, God. We ask for miracles now, Lord. Miracles, God. And we declare in the word that you gave and you spoke, Lord God, through Bobby Connor, we declare an end to the drought in the name of Jesus Christ.
And God, we ask God, that there would be such a manifestation of your glorious presence, God, such a thickness even right now in this room, God, that every disease would have to flee. Every bit of darkness would have to run. Oh, in your glorious light. God, we're asking right now, we're asking, God, for even more of a thickness of your presence here, God. Yeah, we just declare an end to diseases and illnesses, to the things that we just said, ADD, ADHD. We declare an end to those in Jesus' name. We declare an end to Parkinson's in Jesus' name. We declare an end to multiple sclerosis in Jesus' name. Oh, what were some of the others? Autism, we declare an end to autism in Jesus' name. Just declare it yourself too. Just declare the things that are on your heart. Maybe it's something you have. Maybe it's someone that you love has it. We need to make the declarations, God. We are declaring your presence come, that these illnesses and diseases are driven out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God, we're declaring what you showed us, that this is a year of breakthrough. What you clearly showed us is that fog rolled in, that this is nothing for you. God, that your presence will do it. We declare that in Jesus' name.
God's presence is very, very strong up here. He's been waking me up a lot lately, interceding for some things, and anyway, don't ever tease an intercessor because you wind up becoming one. But he's had me up in the morning. And this other morning, either Friday or Thursday morning, I don't remember. It was like 3, 4 in the morning. And I began just to vision blazing fire a little bit on some things. And I saw this healing anointing come down. And the Lord is very specific about backs. So if you have a back problem, stand up for me right now. Take the faith and stand up. He told me to speak this word out. Stand up if you have a back problem. Shabbat. And I saw some curvature of the spine. Somebody had like scoliosis or because he had a scoliosis or something like that. But there's some curvature of the spines and the necks. He's wanting to straighten some things out tonight. So let's just wait for a second before we pray. Just open your hearts and spirits to receive. But he was very specific about backs. Well, there it is. 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 Receive it. Receive it. There it is. Ho! Lord, we just speak to backs right now in the name of Jesus. We speak to the curvature of the spines in the name of Jesus. We call them straight in the name of Jesus. We take the authority you've given us. I speak to every back right here, right now. Somebody just lay hands on the person next to you that has a back issue. Lay hands on the person. Put your hand up. If your hand's up, raise your hand up. Somebody should lay hands on you. Put your hand on someone that has their hands up and put your hand on their back. Make sure you have their permission. Let no one be. Lord, just increase it right now. Increase it right now. Shabbat. Whoa. Let the fire of heaven just release in these backs right now. Speak to muscles. I speak the nerve endings. I speak the blood flow in the bones. I command the back to straighten out right now in the name of Jesus. I loose you in the name of Jesus. I loose the spirit of infirmity off you in the name of Jesus. Whoa, go even deeper, Lord. Even deeper, even deeper. More, 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 more. There's another wave coming right now. Right now, just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. If you feel something in the Lord, if you feel something now, wave your hand. If you feel something, wave your hand. Wave your hand. If you feel something in your back happening right now, wave your hand. More, Lord. Go more. Go more. Do something you couldn't do before. Test it out if you can. Whoa, I mean, he's moving strong. Shaba, increase, 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 increase. Whoa! More, Lord, more, 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 more. We are believing for what you said you're going to do in that vision, Lord, that you're healing backs right now. You're straightening spinal cords right now, Lord. You're straightening necks right now, Lord. You're breaking off that spirit of infirmity right now. You're releasing new nerves, Father God, new nerve endings in these backs, Lord. The blood is flowing through the bones properly, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Deeper, 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 deeper. There it is, 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 there it is. There it is, there it is, there it is. Take it, 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 take it. Oh! He's still moving, he's still moving, he's still moving. Shabba. If something has changed in your back, if your back is, if you know that something's different in your back, wave your hand at me. Wave your hand. Come up here real quick if you can. Just come real fast. Come up here real fast. Come up here. Just real quick. Is that okay, Brent? Yeah. Come up here real quick. Something's different in your back. Come up here. We got to release this thing. He really wants to break this off of people tonight. Shaba, Shaba, Shaba. What's your name?
Joe.
What's your name?
Joe.
What's going on, Joe?
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel my back getting better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lord, just keep healing Joe right now in the name of Jesus. We command to come in alignment right now. Father, just heal him right now totally, 100%. 100%, just heal him right now. Shaba, Shaba. Coming up.
Rose. I did yard work last week, mm-hmm. and I reached out too far, and it tweaked it like I have had previous.
What's going on now?
It's just, there's nothing. It's just.
It's what? It's what? It's what?
I feel no pain.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. It's here. Just receive it. It's coming. It's still pouring. It's still here. It's still here. It's still here. What's your name?
Manuel.
What's going on, Manuel?
I have a slip disc.
And what's happening right now? What's happening right now, Manuel?
I feel good.
Come on. Really come on. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. There's more. There's more. There's more. Shabba. I just want to release one more wave. Okay, Brent? Lord, thank you for what you did for these people, but you're doing more right now. We thank you that you show up and that you heal. Lord, what you've done in these three sons and daughters, we release it over your sons and daughters right now in the name of Jesus, that their back is healed in the name of Jesus, that you keep moving on the rest of the night, that there will be miracle testimony stories coming forward as we release this anointing of you, Father God, because it's you doing it. It's you the great healer. It's your miracles you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
You want to have some of these people pray for you?
Yeah. Here.
What do
you want to do? Yeah. So here's what I want to do. These, if you guys don't mind. If there's more that healed, come up. If there's more people with back problems that were healed, come up. Come on up. If your back was healed, come up. Or if you feel 80% better, come up. So come on. Let's get a little. This is Jesus. Come on. Just get a straight line. Get a straight line for me. Just get a straight line. Thank you, Lord, for the word of knowledge and you showing up. Jesus, we give you all the glory. It's not about us. It's about you and what you're doing. And I believe the anointing is still flowing. And what I want to do, if you guys are willing, that the people that still need prayer for their back, they would come up to you. If you'll pray for them and release what you're receiving into their bodies, we're going to see more people getting healed. Is that fair enough? Are you guys willing to do that? So, Father, we just anoint the ones that you already healed right now in the name of Jesus. And we commission them to lay hands on the ones that still need healing as you do, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Let me just ask the other like Wayne or Lonnie or the elders, all the rest of the elders, is there anything else you had really strong on you before we kind of release people to come up? Just one second. Anyone?
I have like healing for people's eyes. I saw like maculas. And the optical nerve reattaching itself to the eye. So I just command the eyes right now to be healed in the name of Jesus. I command you to be whole. I bind the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus, and I declare that you are completely healed. You are completely whole.
Amen. Thank you. Wayne, do you have anything? No? Okay. All right. Let's do this. Here's our prayer line. There were a bunch of you out there still who had issues with your back. Here's what I want to encourage you. Of course, be led by your spirit. You know, that's the main thing. Because a lot of times, again, with our minds, we talk ourselves out of things. If you're feeling a prompting to get up here, then get up here. Even if you were just prayed for 30 seconds ago, it's irrelevant. There's just something about faith that's tremendously pleasing to God. And I can tell you that every time we're agreeing with His heart for healing, for deliverance, for freedom, it's something He's working on. He's doing something, even if you did not see the full thing right now, the full release right now. But I want to encourage you, if you want more prayer, come up. And some of these people, especially, I want to just any of those that were up here, if you're willing to stay up and pray for people, and especially like just some of these wild things that were going on. If you're just like hungering for that, I want to pray a declaration over all of you right now first before you come up. But if you're wanting specific prayer for that, you can just come up and maybe pray for some of those people you heard from tonight. There really is something. Karina's got an amazing story. Karina, about was it after who prayed for you? And all of a sudden, wait, tell it real quick. You know which one I mean? About getting your eyes being open and you experience more after.
Gary Oates. Oh, okay. I didn't see a lot in the spirit realm before, but Gary Oates prayed for me. He wrote a book called Open My Eyes, Lord. And after that, I just started to see a lot more, like the angelic realm and things like that, because usually they're there for a purpose and God will show you why they're there and things like that. So we're all meant to see. It's not some far out mystery, but like Brent talked about tonight, it's for all of us. And all you have to do is just ask and be willing and say, I believe. And so He will do that for you.
So I wanted her to share that story because sometimes we wonder, like, okay, does that really work, this transference thing? I will say nobody can walk your walk but you. You have to keep going after Jesus. No one can do that for you. But I will say that He listens when we're agreeing with His heart. When you have that hunger and someone comes into agreement, something's going on in the spirit realm. And so if you're feeling that hunger, you can come up and, you know, get prayed for by someone up here. But let me first just declare it over all of you, okay? This is what I want to declare over you. Father, I declare over each one of us, God, greater revelation of you than we've ever had before. I ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall upon us, God, that we would know our God. We would know how good you are. We would know how powerful you are. We would know that the impossibility is where you live, God. That's your home. You live in the realm of impossibilities. God, would you take us with you? God, we want to go there. God, bring creativity to us, God, to our, as you're breathing into our spirits, as you are counseling us spirit to spirit. Lord, we are asking you, let our spirits retrain our minds and retrain our emotions and not the other way around. And we are asking, God, for heaven's creativity. We want heaven's creativity for any problems that arise, any conflicts. God, they're not in the way. They're not there to get in the way. They're there for you to display your bigness, your greatness through us. God, we've been looking at it wrong. Would you give us your heaven's perspective and heaven's answers in Jesus' name? And Lord, I'm asking for every person here also, God, an increase in the ability to be so aware of your presence and to see into the spirit realm. God, we are asking this. God, we open our eyes to see things we have not seen before, to know that there are more for us than against us. Let us know that because we've seen it, God. I ask for an increase in dreams, visions, visitations, angelic hosts coming, and you yourself, Lord, visiting us. I'm asking that for every person in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we want to invite you to come up if you want prayer, and I'm telling you, you're going to see more and more. Let's keep going, you guys. Let's keep going.